Well, welcome to another episode of Fun and Learn with Inner Garden. And this is Barbara Leonard, and I have as a co-host today, Jeannie Martin. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Barb. Glad to be with you.
Oh, it's just great to have you on. We have a really good guest from Texas, and his name's Gary L. Wimmer, and I'd like to introduce him before we get too far in here. Hi, Gary.
How are you?
We're good.
Good to be with you ladies tonight.
We're good.
Yep.
We're always good, aren't we, Jeannie?
Absolutely.
All right.
Mind you, that's our opinion. If you ask our husbands, they might not have the same opinion.
Oh, I bet they'd agree.
Well, they better, or they're going to be sorry boys if we hear about it.
Are you speaking to us from Texas, Gary?
Pardon me?
Are you speaking with us from Texas tonight?
I am in Austin, Texas, where for the first time we've had an inch of snow.
Whoa.
Or half inch, I'll say. And that's, you know, puts everybody in disaster territory. Everybody drives, runs into each other. You know?
And we've got the buds coming out on our trees up here. So.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We're going to have those beautiful floridendrons and all that stuff out pretty quick. So, Gary, give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Well, I've been a musician my whole life, as well as a psychic. I started giving readings back in the early 70s. I've traveled most of my life and played music and give readings. And last couple years, I was in Europe from 93 to 2000, toured over there and worked on my psychic ability and so forth. Came back to Texas in 2000, started acting and working in films, and writing a book on lithomancy, which is the psychic art I'd used for 30 years.
That's a different type of art, but it's an old one, isn't it?
Well, there's not a whole lot of information on it, but what I could gather, it's probably one of the oldest, just from archaeological evidence. They believe that reading stones and bones, that's probably one of the most ancient. And when they started finding inscriptions on stones, there's some people believe that that started the runes and probably the first written languages. Of course, there's very little history about it, so it's probably more speculation than fact, but it certainly is a possibility.
Fascinating.
It's a very interesting methodology, interesting system. I'm fascinated by it. Every time I use it, I become more fascinated by it.
What's interesting, Jeannie, too, and you know this, is it doesn't matter what you're reading. You can read chalk on a chalkboard, which we do. We have people come up and put chalk on a chalkboard, and the whole class looks at it and reads on the person who put the chalk up. And that amazes people to no end. And you can read, just put hands in sand and read them. But it's just amazing how accurate it is.
Yeah, you're correct. You can read anything because basically it's reading symbolism. And if you can see your own way of interpreting symbolism, you've got half of life mastered, you know, because it's written everywhere. And we can read anything.
There must be also a certain amount of energy that comes off of those stones that assists in the reading. Is that true?
Well, there certainly is. I don't know that much about the gemology of stones. In fact, usually when I work at psychic fairs and so forth, most people know more about the actual stones than I do. But I look at patterns and how the stones point, how they land, how they interrelate with the circle. And I see these geometric patterns and basically read a three-month period using 16 stones dropped into a circle. Read it like a clock where each hour represents a week. So it covers a three-month period. And the interesting thing is, by the way they land, the patterns they form, what they mean, how they interrelate with the circle and so forth, it allows me to see what's going on and what's going on in the future and why, and offer a lot of insight into a lot of different issues at once. Like I said, it's a fascinating methodology, and I'm very fortunate to have learned it, and not many people know about it. So I'm about to publish a book probably in the next week or two. It'll be available on Amazon about lithomancy.
Well, it's great to do something like that because I know that, and Jeannie knows this too, that I've read Flowers. I was on a program here called Tomorrow's Fortune back in the 80s on CKVU. And as you were in BC, CKVU, you know, was a fairly good station up here at that time. And I was asked to come on as one of the guest readers. that would come on once or twice a week in a daily program, and I read flowers. And people say to me, oh, that's so fascinating. How can you read flowers? But the same thing with your stones. You know, this is a fascinating thing for people to watch. It keeps them focused on what you're doing with the stones and gives you a little bit of kind of entrance into their energy field, I think, and make the link or something. I don't know. It just
That's a pretty good way to put it into words, yeah. Because once a pattern is formed, I see it as levels and levels of different information that I can tap into. It's just, and I've given readings, you know, short readings at conventions and on radio for, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, and given readings to one person for an hour and a half. So it's just so much information that can come out of the patterns.
Sure.
It's fast.
It's basically a language, right?
I see it as a language. I don't know if it's something I hear or see or feel. Probably a combination of all of the above as far as how I interpret the pattern. But, yeah, it is a language. Like music's a language, and, you know, love is a language. You vibrate it. You say it. You act it. You feel it. You do it. But, yeah, it's basically a language.
Mm.
I wanted to ask you, Gary.
Go ahead, Jeannie.
If your experiences as being an entertainer and an actor has given you a greater depth into the understanding of spirit?
It's a good question. I never thought about that. It sure gave me a lot of experience knowing how to deal with people and be friendly. And I grew up with six brothers, so I learned how to be a very sociable, likable character, probably more as a defense mechanism than trying to impress people, for sure.
so they didn't smack you around, right?
Oh, I had two older brothers, and I was the third base my whole life until I finally left, you know, a year older and 2 years old. And I had four younger brothers. So, but, yeah, I think probably more than being a musician is probably having an artistic mind. Because I'm a musician, actor, right? I've always been a musician, a whole family of businessmen. And that probably more than just music per se gives me good intuition because I think in symbolic terms of, you know, like a lot of people, artists do. So that's probably the edge the entertainment field has given me, just being an artist in general.
Well, I think to be an artist, especially a musician, and if you're creating the music, as you know, bringing it through you, you have to be able to be highly sensitive to be able to come in touch with that music and be able to interpret what it's doing for you. So
that's true.
I think
it is
music,
an emotional experience.
You know, it's a type of, it's a mediumship. You know, like we get a lot of people picking at names, and they'll say, oh, this is psychic and this is mediumship. I think anything that you use, whether you're an artist and you paint, that comes through you, not of you, and it's a mediumship.
Yes, you know? I agree with you. I also think the convenient man-made terms of different categories of psychic phenomena, and there are a lot of them. On my website alone, I list 150. I think these terms are for our convenience because psychic phenomena like thought and the universe in general, when you get down to the thought of God and infiniteness, it's they don't fit into convenient categories. Everything's like an ocean, like one drop in the infinite sea of oceans. Our categories are for our convenience, but psychic phenomena and spirituality isn't quite so clearly defined and categorized, really.
Because what we're really doing, and this is my opinion, and this way I've taught for years, is that we have these senses that we were born with, and all we're doing is expanding the senses that we already have to be able to come into tune with what they were before we got here and when we first arrived.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, amen. And that's the way I look at it. I don't think it's extrasensory. I don't think that some people were, other than you happen to vibrate towards music, and so do I, or whatever, other people would vibrate between, you know, towards color and painting and stuff. I think, you know, nobody is given more than anybody else. We still have that ability to stretch our senses. I might hear less than you do, but I may have a better sense of smell. And so I'm going to be able to expand my senses to be able to reach to that source.
Right. And we all have that source in common, whether we recognize it or not. Probably there's certainly people who recognize it and are interested in it, drawn to it, more curious and so forth, and investigate it in life, and there's people who don't. But it doesn't mean just you don't have to believe in gravity for it to work. So people are getting symbolism and growing and evolving, even if they may not know it or think about it.
Exactly. And Jeannie, maybe you'd like to talk to Gary a little bit about the work that you do with hypnosis, too.
Interesting, as Gary was just speaking there, and I'm getting sort of a mental image of what he's doing with the stones, and I'm thinking, as a clinical hypnotherapist, Gary, the reason why I got into that work was certainly through all of the things that we're speaking about today, because it's always been a fascination. And just like you, my first guru, if you want to put it that way, was Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, as we get into the depths of our own mind, getting the chatter out of the way and changing the frequency of our own beingness, then that really opens up the field even more to connect with another person's, let's call it, higher self.
Yeah, I've got somebody online, I think. Is it Joy from BC? That's
Barbara
online.
And Jeannie, I know both of you, so I want to ask my question to Gary, if that's okay?
Yes, Joy.
Okay,
Gary,
good.
You're talking about symbolism. Since I was a very small girl, I have been drawing one symbol over and over and over again, and it actually gives me a lot of comfort. And what it is three stars, and then the stars encased in what would be like the petals of a flower. And then once they're all completed, I draw a circle or I draw lines around that to encase the whole thing. Now, for some reason, this, you know, helps me with boredom and brings me some sense of comfort. And I'm wondering if you might have any insight into that.
Well, while you were saying that, I felt something like fractals, sacred geometry, things like that. Being connected
okay.
to it. I think there is, as Carl Jung discovered and Freud discovered to some degree, there is universal symbolism. Now, why it exists and why it's that way is a complete different discussion. But the symbol you were talking about, I was getting the feeling it had some sort of like religious or metaphysical significance in a past life, in some religious or cult you had. And I think it's pretty close to the way the drawing was, but it's not quite. It's
okay.
Very close, though. And it feels like it's something from some sect or religion you were involved in.
Well, that's interesting.
No,
did you have anything else you wanted to ask, Joe?
Well, thank you for your time, Gary.
Did you want to ask anything else, or...
No, that was just, it was just struck me as curious that we were talking about symbols and that I find such comfort in these symbols and I repeat them over and over again. If you go through any of my notes, this is what you'll find that I'm constantly drawing and I've always wondered what it is that attracts me to it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks for calling, Joe. We'll go back to seeing what else Gary has to talk to us about then.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
That was nice that Joy took the time to call in. You know what happened the last time that Jeannie and I were on together? And we got talking in depth about hypnosis and all things of the mind. They got so interested in what we're talking, they wouldn't phone. So I'm glad they're phoning in. But if we get really depth in here, don't be insulted if you don't get too many phone calls, because that means they're listening to what you got to say and they don't want to miss anything. But anyway, what were you going with there, Jeannie?
Well, I just sort of had a thought about that idea as mediums and clairvoyants and readers, how it makes a difference if we shift our energy into into almost a theta state. As you were saying, Gary, you see depths when you're reading the stones. You go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. So.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just sort of drawing what may be a parallel to when we say that everyone has those abilities, and of course we're all born that way, to be able to get the chatter of the mind away so that one can reach their own depth to connect with that person at their vibration.
True. Well, I think I just came to this realization not too long ago because I had a similar incident to, driving down the street, not well, paying attention, but getting distracted, and all of a sudden looking up and slamming my brakes on because the car had stopped right in front of me, and I felt like someone had warned me. And, you know, we all get those sort of feelings, but this happened to me just a couple months ago, and it seemed like, you know, that's what it's been all along. That's what people get warnings for, where you feel like you just, what woke me up? What drew my attention that way? It's actually some entity or thought form or relative or a guardian angel or guide that's actually kind of going, uh-oh, watch out, because you actually do look up in time, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we're not aware of a lot of things that are going around us, not consciously, but our subconscious is in connection with it all the time.
I had an experience. I'm rewriting a book about it. In 1977, I had out of body tunnel light near death experience in a automobile accident, and I an incredible experience. I went out through that tunnel of light and came back a completely different person, mind blown by what I saw and how beautiful it is. And a couple things that really impressed me: A, there's no reason to fear death at all. It's beautiful. This is the challenge. And feeling like for a split second I was in the mind of God, or the creation of the universe, the creator, the infinite. It was fascinating because at its core it was complete love. Yeah. Behind the mechanics of the whole manifestation of everything was complete love. Unfathomable concept, but it really is that way.
Now, Gary, interesting about that. How into the acceptance of afterlife were you before that happened?
Well, I was. I started getting interested in psychic phenomena by reading Edgar Cayce as well during college in the 60s. That experience in 77 that lasted a week, which, like I said, I'm finishing up a book I started 10 years ago on it, very profound experience, and I wasn't completely surprised, but I was surprised that human beings can actually have that experience, go there, come back, and talk about it. And yeah. I'm certainly not the only one who has, but until one has really had one of those, you really don't realize that you actually can go out there, see the truth, and come back. That's what really fascinated me.
We have Betty on the line, and we're going to go back to talking about that, Gary, because it's a really important subject. But Betty, from BC, would you like to talk to Gary?
Yes, I would.
Hey, okay. Betty, let me do this. Let me give you a quick 3-minute stone reading. Would you like that?
I would love it.
It would address a lot of issues. What I'm going to do is I'm charging up these stones, and in just a moment, I will say I'm ready. And when you hear me say I'm ready, you say drop anytime you feel it's appropriate. I'll just talk for a minute, okay, Betty? Okay, give me just a second, sweetheart. Kind of put your name on them. And I'm ready, Betty. Anytime you want to say drop, you just say drop.
Drop.
Okay. All right, looks like you're going through a fortunate period with some new things about both place and relationships to men and so forth because of balances that have been a little bit out in the past and getting reworked on. That's going to bring you a lot of fortune and luck, even though you're having to go through a lot of transitions about it. It's going to bring you power, but it's also going to bring you in the first week or two new feelings about spirituality, about your ability to make things right, see through disillusionment and so forth. That's part of the process of dealing with this intense things coming to the surface. And by the second and third week, you actually have a lot of return of love. You feel like you're much more in control of your environment. You have a lot of fortune coming out of this because you're going through a lot of these changes and making things work very much to your complement. So there is pressure on you, but you're making things work. And by the fifth and sixth week, after this fortunate cycle of luck and you start feeling in control in your environment, you find your ability much, you're much more able to take steps on things, make things work, organize, do practical things, put new projects into play, and continue this healing process such that by the sixth and seventh week, you have a completely new emotional framework to go about. You see commitments, responsibilities, and duties in a new light, which gives you a lot of freedom coming into the ninth week and a new feeling of freshness. And from the 10th week to the 12th week here, your balance, which is the very thing that feels like it's been kind of thrown off recently, returns almost with a vengeance. So you get a lot more balanced. You start seeing a lot of opportunities, benefiting from the opportunities in your place that are going to be building up in the next couple weeks, even though they may not all seem like opportunities. They may seem like things from the past that you're having to change. But by the end of this three-month period, you have a lot of balance and harmony. And in the future, this is giving you a lot of not only new opinions about your life and new feelings, but new ways to promote yourself, to communicate, to expand business and personal relationships, and to feel like you can be detached when you need to be and analytical, but at the same time be very emotional and impactful when you need to. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds, even though it may feel like a struggle here in the next couple weeks. A lot of fortune for you and luck and expansion in you going through this process. Now, that's short and sweet, but that's what I see for the next couple months, and I hope that makes sense to you, Betty.
Yes, a lot of that does, and I was just wondering, I've had a lot of unfortunate, tragic circumstances happen.
Yeah, I could feel that.
And it's taking a lot out of me emotionally, physically, spiritually, and I just want to know, like, am I going to make it to whatever?
Oh yeah. This is actually giving you power and faith in a new way. It doesn't happen overnight, but in the next couple of weeks you'll recognize it's happening. It's giving you strength. It's clearing out some of the issues and where you feel like you've almost been attacked or hurt or why'd this happen to me, that sort of thing. You not only get clarity about it, you get a new sense of spiritual direction, and that's not years or months away. That's in the next couple of weeks you start building on that. And like I said, by the third week, you feel very fortunate. You feel about family and people you love and care about, very close to your environment, very good, very powerful, very affecting your environment in a very positive way. So, yeah, there are some things you're having to deal with, but there's fortune and strength and empowerment coming out of them. So easier said than done, but try not to be intimidated by them. See what they're offering you. See how they're giving you clarity and new strength and new purpose. A new like dedication to the process, because that's going to start. Very good things happen to you within the next couple of weeks. It's not years away. Does that clarify that for you?
Yes, it does. I've lost two children, and so I'm having a hard time getting clear about life right now.
Yeah,
and I
understand
a little bit to that, Betty. And the thing is, The hardest thing to do is to be able to recognize that you honor those people who you love that have gone to spirit by being the very best that you can be.
I realize that.
Do the very best with your life that you can. They are with you.
That's already within me. But the thing is, when you're living through the grief of children.
But right now you've been through the winter of the season.
That part.
Come
that,
to the spring. Yeah.
You know,
it's
where you
going
need
to get better. It's going to get better. You don't get over it, Betty, but it does get better. Right? Okay, darling, we're sending you lots of angels. And thanks for calling.
Keep your faith, sweetheart. Things are working for you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Gary. And thank you very much for that reading. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Let these things affect you in a very positive way because, you're not years away from healing. You're months, you're weeks away from start recognizing how to not only start that process, but to give yourself a renewal of faith. And that's where it starts, really.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Faith.
Heartfelt.
Faith,
Dark. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Betty. Yeah, mm-hmm. Going back to what you were talking there about, Jeannie, have you had any experience with out-of-body or near-death experience?
Yes, I have. On two different levels. I started with reading a book many years ago from Lobsang Rampa on astral projection. So as Gary was mentioning, you know, this being able to leave the body and return, and of course, Gary, your experience was much more in-depth than that, but I did go through the process of astral projection, look down on my body, and see that I was actually in two places at the same time. And it feels like it was just yesterday because it was a mind-blowing experience. And I haven't had a near-death experience. However, I have had a visitation from someone who did pass away a half an hour before, and I had not any idea because he was only 27 years old when he passed, and he came to visit me before he left. So, you know, I have no doubt that we certainly carry on beyond this existence, and it's wonderful when you can have that experience here in and now and go out and come back, like Gary mentioned.
Oh, it's the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me in my life. I feel like the most fortunate person on the planet just for having had that experience. And like my book is entitled A Second in Eternity, because I was gone for just a second or two on Earth, but it seemed like in a lifetime in the other world. All too short of one, I might add.
Is that the new book that's out, Gary, or is that the one you've already written? Because I'm wondering where we might be able to get it.
Well, the book I'm going to release first is Lithomancy, the Psychic Art of Reading Stones. That should be on Amazon in the next week or two. The Second in Eternity, A Second in Eternity, that'll probably come out in a month, too, something like that. I'm going to have to do some more editing on it. I'm just rewriting. I started it 20 years ago in February of 1997 when I was in Europe telling people some of the story. And I picked it up again about 4 months ago and thought, I need to polish this up because the story was good, but it was more of a report than a story. So I'm actually making it into a very readable book as opposed to a report.
So almost like the person can go with you on the trip.
Oh, yeah, I did. Joe's kind of slowly escalated up to this point and was curious as to whether I was making things happen or witnessing them, and the wall between subconscious and conscious just faded away. I went through a week of buildup of psychic phenomena before I had this accident and this experience. And, I feel so fortunate about it. I wish I could push the button and have everybody go there and back, but I can't. They've got to do it themselves.
It's like some people that have experiences like that, which I had a personal relationship with a lady who died three times. And the first time and second time that she died, she was only gone for a second. She doesn't recall anything from that. But the third time, believe it or not, was 20 minutes from the time she dropped to the time they brought her back. And she had that experience, and she had no belief in that kind of stuff at all. She said she would have said garbage, garbage, garbage. And after she had that experience, like you, she says there's nothing to fear in dying.
Oh, no, it's beautiful out there. This is the challenge. Life's the challenge, not after life. At your most vulnerable point, God's not going to take you and flip a coin and decide heaven or hell for eternity.
Yeah. I know she said to me, I'm not in a hurry to get there, but I'm not afraid to. And it was so wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, once you've had that, you know you've got so much work to do here to get that out.
And, we came from there, and to there we shall return, but meanwhile we're gathering dust and wiping it off ourselves.
Yeah.
Good way to put it. Gary, do you believe in past life?
We got somebody else on. Crystal Lynn from Langley is on. Can we say hi to Crystal?
Yep.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Did you want to say a question to Gary?
Yes. It involves a situation that I'm in now. I've been moving around from town to town doing rescue work, working with Christ Michael. And I get put in positions where I expose where there's geopathic stress, black mold, and corruption and fraud. And I'm in a place now that I have uncovered all that. And I got myself what you call a geobuster. Because I can't tolerate
too much,
the negative energy. It makes me very sick, and everybody here was sick. So I got one, and I got it on my patio, and everybody's health has improved, and I've been clearing the place of dark energy and bringing light here. And I've been working with some abandoned cats, and I got this one named Angel Cat. And I knew I was supposed to take him to a shelter, but I've been procrastinating for months and been feeding him in my car down in the underground parking lot. along with some other cats, and I'm the only one that can get near him, and he has the same issues as me, abuse, abandonment, rejection, and all those kind of feelings, so he's been nearing them so I can recognize them and release it. Anyways, I got him tamed down, so he let me pet him and everything. And then when it snowed, I was worried in fear that he would freeze to death. And so I had to overcome my fear of getting my car stolen, because there was a car stolen and one vandalized in the parking spot here. And so I loved the cat so much. I mean, he opened my heart to love. My heart was so closed. I wouldn't let anybody in, and he opened my heart, and then he started to get mean, and beaten up on the other cats. So I had to take him to a shelter, and when I took him to the shelter, there was only one shelter in around anywhere that would take him, and when I took him to the shelter, I asked the lady if when I went to see him. I went to visit him, and I asked if I could go to the bathroom, and she said she doesn't have one. I'd have to go outside around a tree. So I walked out around the shelter, and I went right down into a sinkhole. And so I know why that cat had to go to that shelter in order for me to find out. There's very bad geopathic stress, and a lot of the cats are in terrible shape, and so is the poor woman that's...
Can you ask your question? Because we've got somebody else coming in on the line.
Oh.
Do you have sorry about that, but hearing it beep here.
Oh, can I talk?
Can you ask Gary a question, or maybe he can do a quick reading for
you? Yeah, I want to know, because I think this is my new mission, to help this woman, because I was alerted to the geopathic stress on the property and the sinkholes, which are making everybody sick there. And so I got an extra geobuster, and I went and put it on there today. Now, what I want to know, is this my new mission, to work with this woman with the 200 cats? And now that I've alerted her to what the problem is, will I be able to adopt this cat now? Because I love him so much. And I need a place to live. I can't bring him where I am. Hello?
Hello there.
Do we still have Gary?
Yeah. Gary, are you there? I don't think we got Gary. I think we've lost him.
I think we've lost him.
Well, while he's getting called back, I'll get Seth to call him back. You and I can chit-chat there. Did we lose this lady altogether now?
Are you there, Crystal? Lost her.
Are you there?
Well, I'm here, so I guess it's just you and I, Barb.
Yeah, it's just you and I talking. I'm just going to talk away about this out-of-body experience situation. You know, it's something that a lot of people do actually experience and are aware of. Everybody has it every night, but a lot of them are more aware of it than other people. And it is really quite an interesting thing. Like, you know, the fellow, Gary Elder, that wrote the Eye Through the Eye of Angel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he talks a lot about the outer body experience and making trips on the astral projection plane and stuff. It's,
mm-hmm.
That is quite an interesting field all on its own, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I believe that Paul Elder also teaches remote viewing now.
Yeah. Well, because? Basically, you know, they put names on it. That's a government name that went on it with the basically is nothing more than astral projection, really.
Right.
And, you know, so Bob is on line three. Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you?
How are you doing? It's Barbara speaking. I think you got Barbara and Jeannie, and they're trying to get Gary back.
I'm back online.
Gary is back as well.
Hi, Gary,
you're there?
Yeah, Gary's back. I'm here.
Okay, now we've got Bob on here, and Gary, you're on. So, Bob, did you want to ask Gary a question, or?
Well, I'd like to talk to Jeannie, if I may.
Okay, you may.
Hi, Bob.
Jeannie?
How's California?
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi, Jeannie, how are you?
I'm fine.
Well, Artie and I are here, and we're listening to you.
Well, we have Gary and just a fantastic opportunity. Do you have anything that you'd like to ask Gary while he's with us?
Well, nothing in particular. If he wishes to roll the stones for me, that would be just wonderful.
Sure, I'll do that, brother. What's your name again?
Bob.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, is that correct, Bob? Yeah, I'll do this. I'm charging up the stones. In just a second, I'll say I'm ready. And all you have to do is say drop, and I'll drop the stones and give you a three-minute rundown, okay?
Okay, sure.
Give me just a second here, Bob. Let me
Alrighty.
Turn them in to you, put your name on them, so to speak. Okay, I'm ready. So anytime you feel like saying drop.
Okay, drop.
Okay. Well, you've got a lot of good things going on right now. A new sense of balance coming in, even though there's been a lot of recent changes, and you're still going through a lot of changes. There's a lot of opportunity in this, especially with communication, getting things organized, making decisions. And you may feel like the time has been like in the past when you could have made the best decision, but it's now the future. It's the present. So look at it as a forward thing. This is a new moment. This is a new time to make new decisions. And in the next week and a half, you're going to be doing a lot of communication, settling issues, so forth, seeing through a lot of plans, how they change. And that's bringing a lot of healing. It's bringing some things to the surface that need to be worked out, whether it's family issues and personal issues or business issues. I think it's a little bit of all the above. But in this process, you're continuing to expand at the same time you're finding new ways to do things, see things, move things into action. So there's a lot of creativity for you and a lot of expansion going on the next first couple weeks, as well as this these issues that are getting healed in the second and third week. Now, by the fourth week, this is bringing you a lot of structure into your place, business, home, so forth. It's also helping you reorganize, make new commitments about love, make new, like draw a line in the sand on things you're going to do business-wise, personally-wise, and in relationship to love issues. So that's sort of what's coming out of this change, as well as the healing, is a lot of like new direction for yourself, personally, business-wise, and feels like romantically or love issues, related to family as well. This is going on from about the 5th to the 7th week, and by the 8th and 9th week, it feels with like with both planning, partners, you have a lot of luck. And you have a lot of luck in not only with planning and so forth, but how you're feeling emotionally empowered again, and your feeling of relationships and power and communication is getting not only much stronger, but inventive with things about business, with things about life, new approaches and so forth. And by the end of this three-month period, you're going to find yourself not only quite balanced, but emotionally back in the driver's seat. Instead of feeling like you're having to do things because they have to be done, you feel like you're emotionally wanting to do them more rather than having to do them. And that's given you a lot of purpose in the future where you can really make strong plans, having kind of gone through this confusing period, worked things out, reached new settlements and so forth, reached new strengths. That's given you a lot of ideas to the future with both the sun and the life stone outside the circle. They're saying beyond this three-month period, you're going to have not only are you new plans in play, but you're going to know how to expand from there into higher positions of empowerment, responsibility and authority, and financial gain as well. So that's kind of in general what I'm seeing for the next 3 months. Does that ring some bells with you?
Yeah, I've got into reviewing my Hori Astrology course, and I'm hoping to complete it by the time I come back to British Columbia, and or soon thereafter.
Well, it's a good time to move forward with projects right now while you've got both the inspiration, the freshness, and almost like the sense of purpose, dedication, responsibility, like you have to get these things done. So it's a good time to move.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're going to find some of the things you go through in the next 2 weeks on a personal level are going to add to your information, what you can communicate, what you can write about, how you can, whatever your scenario is. It gives you a lot more information about it.
One quick question.
Sure.
I do have some health issues, and I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate on that.
Well, I don't really do health readings because of doctor. Oh. It's a doctor thing. But with Jupiter and Uranus so close to Saturn and the commitment stone and the love stone and the luck stone, all these are pretty close to each other. So this is saying that there's a lot of beyond the what the medical field can tell, do for you and provide, there's a lot of your own growth, spirituality, concepts coming into play that are like giving you a healthy perspective and a fresh perspective and new ways of looking at things. And that adds to what the medical community can do for you, because it seems to bring you seeing the glass half full as opposed to half empty. It seems to be the process you're working through in the next couple of weeks. And on a psychological, spiritual, and also medical level, this change affects you very positively. So don't replace me with a doctor, but do allow yourself to feel more in control than you have, rather than it controlling you. That's going to give you a lot of strength.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Gary. And my greetings to Barbara and to Jeannie. And I did get Jeannie's email today, so fortunately I remembered to click on the Internet and listen to this interesting conversations you've been having.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you tuned in. Try to watch us tune in every couple of weeks. We're on every other week, and Jeannie and I are trying to build a really good program here that will keep people interested. So thanks for calling in, Bob.
And give my love to Arden, Bob.
I will, dear.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
I love the way you read, Gary.
I do, too.
Because the type of reading that you do is uplifting and directed on a positive note, and that's what people really need, isn't it?
It is, because you know, there's always positive and negative in everything. If you want to look at, you know, protons and electrons, you know, yin and yang, you name it.
Yes, exactly.
So the best we can do is see the positive and work toward it. People compliment me on my accuracy a lot, but I always compliment them on doing the things that empowered them, because all I told them was the possibilities at hand. They went through the actions and made the improvements. And being aware of where we're empowered can lead us to using that empowerment. But it's like a lot of things in life, you have to ask. If you want the door to open, you got to knock on it.
Exactly. We can't stay sitting, sucking our thumb and expect to get the golden plums off the tree.
Yeah, you got to, you know.
There you go. So this has been a lifetime love for you, Gary.
Pardon me?
This has been a lifetime love for you, working with people and helping them?
It's probably it's a very strong part of my personality. I was the emotional foundation for a family. My mother and I are the only water signs. I'm a Scorpio, she's a Cancer, and we're six brothers. A lot of male energy and testosterone and all male planets around me. I learned a lot of compassion, concern, and so forth. Like I said, first is a survival mechanism, but eventually I realized that's just my niche in life. I'm not the world's greatest businessman, that's for sure. You know, never been my interest.
Well, my husband tells me that I give the farm away. You know, a lot of times, money is a secondary thing. It's whether or not I can be of some assistance or some help out there. Interesting, because I'm a Scorpio as well. And Jeannie?
Oh, hi, sister. Good.
And what are you, Jeannie?
A Pisces.
Water signs.
Signs.
Yep. The three water signs in here. We're just floating the boat.
There you go.
Oh, isn't that just something else? No wonder Jeannie and I get along, because Pisces and Scorpio do get pretty on pretty well.
Pretty compatible, yeah.
Yeah. Talking of that, now, interesting. Astrologically now, we've been having a lot of talk about what's going to happen, like all these people, just like the change of the millennium, we're going to have all these horrible things that were going to happen, and we got all these horrible things that they're predicting for 2012. So I just decided the other day, I don't really do astrology for myself. I just look at what's going on in world astrology, or if I do astrology for somebody else. So I thought, I wonder what's going on there. And it was very interesting because Uranus is basically going to be very much in the same place as it was when the Great Depression hit. So I'm wondering if we're not going to have more of an economical world financial thing that we're going to have to really be prepared for.
I think you're probably right. I think the changes we see politically, socially, economically, spiritually, all our systems breaking down, I don't think that's a long-term thing. It's going to go on for the rest of our lifetimes for sure, ups and downs and upheavals.
Yeah.
Because we're moving toward a completely new way of thinking and living, and from where we're at right now, it's a big transition. So a lot of things have to change, and we're not out of the woods economically, politically, socially, for probably a generation, because it'll take that long for systems to reform that are equally that are better for man in general
yeah.
than they are right now. So it's not a short term solution, and we're in for the long run.
I think we all have to do our part, though. I have to start really taking a look. I think this generation of young people are really more aware of the need to look after our resources and recycle and stuff like that. So it's something that I think some of the other older people have to grab onto and realize it's important.
I agree. And I think what frustrates me is a lot of the people in power are my age, they're the baby boomers, but they're obviously not the ones who saw a more enlightened future. They're the ones that still have a lot of, power hunger in their vibe. And it's these people who are in power who basically caused the system, the same people I grew up with as a anti-war radical, which is kind of frustrating. We were supposed to be the enlightened age, and, we didn't do it very well.
Well, I don't know.
Generation, then.
Sometimes I wonder if maybe we don't make a mistake of being so sophisticated. If we keep it simpler, we'd be a lot better off.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Yeah, for sure.
If you had any thoughts to share with the young people, Gary, I'm a grandmother of 7, and I just found out I'm going to be a great-grandmother. What would you tell them from your insight and your connection from spirit? What would you...
Well, it's not really what you have in life. It's who you are, what you can do for fellow man, how much you follow the golden rule. And I think the transition we're going through in general in these times is leading us to come to that conclusion that the only real sane way to live is to put other equal to self.
Yeah.
And that's probably something that's gotten forgotten. Well, it has been forgotten in most cultures and language, even though we talk about it. We don't really live that. So I would say to young people, be optimistic, be empowered, because we are going to eventually leave the people my age, and hopefully they can make a better society. They're certainly seeing all our screw-ups, and if that isn't a good education, I don't know what is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a great-grandmother 4 times now, so I'm looking at back when the grandchildren were small, and I look at all the wonderful things that we had, and of all those wonderful things that those young people tell me they remember is the summer that I took off of work and had grandma's summer camp. And that didn't cost money. They came to my place. We had crafts, and we had all these wonderful things that they did, and there was 5 grandchildren there, and they had to learn to get social with each other, and they had to all obey what grandma's law was in the house, and what they, if they didn't, then we sat down and had a discussion on it, sometimes with lots of tears going rolling down the floor when 20 minutes with one little girl trying to get what she knew what the rule was, and so she had to abide by it, but grandma, I think when they look back on it now, these kids now are 29 and 30, 26 in that area, and what they remember is grandma's summer camp and how much fun they had.
Exactly.
That didn't cost money, Jeannie.
They remember
so what
the
you
love
give,
that shared.
You know, so I gave the little 4-year-old granddaughter the freedom of my place, and she had a tea party with 2 other little girls, and I think she'll remember that tea party more than anything else that I do, more than the presents I gave her.
Hmm.
You know, so that's interesting that we've lost touch with the things that really have meaning to kids, because they don't remember a lot of times some of the big show that you put on, but they remember some of the little things that really meant something to them.
And I think it's important, too, for our children to know that even though it seems like we live separate lives in this 3-dimensional plane, we are, in fact, absolutely linked with one another.
We got Angie on line 3. I've been holding her for a little bit. Angie, are you there? Angie? Or did we lose you?
Actually, I wanted to ask you a question. I just had a job, a new job. It's just part-time. And I wanted to know if I'm supposed to take the position.
Hmm. I don't know whether Gary does, you should or shouldn't. I know I don't. I usually give you a direction whether it will happen one way or the other.
I'll pull some cards for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, pull some cards for me and see what you say. And Jeannie, I love you. Okay. You know that, right?
I love you too, Angie.
Okay, this is related to a job you're about to take, is that correct?
I've started it, but I feel like I'm in the right place, and it's just a part-time thing, but it's kind of weird how it all happened, so I just want to know if it was meant to be.
Yeah, it actually is in the right place, because it seems like it's not only bringing your desire to move forward up, it feels like there's people there who back you. It's starting a fresh start.
God, that's what I felt.
Yeah, there is someone who backs you. Feels like a male figure.
It is, yes.
You've also got two or three cards indicating there's a lot of decisions for you to help you. If you didn't take this, you wouldn't be called into play to make these decisions and sort of get your engine revving up faster. So it's a very good thing for you. It's stimulating you. It's bringing you a lot of... putting you back in the frame of life where you're experiencing things, you're trying things, you're testing things, adventure, and so forth. So, yeah, it's a win-win-win for you, even if it's not permanent. But you're establishing some new friends through it, too, some good relationships. So the 8 of spades is saying don't spin your wheels about whether you're in the right place or not. Accept where you are and move toward the this kings keep coming up, these people who are backing you or supporting you. They have good intentions for you, can help you and support you, but you will have to take upon yourself these responsibilities and follow through with them very effectively. But that,
okay,
again, that gives you confidence and strength and temporary money, and brings your credibility up in your eyes and in the eyes of other people. It's a win-win-win. Even if it doesn't last that long.
You're so right on. The day I went there, they had this little bowl, and I picked up this thing, and it said, today, make friends.
New relationships are. The hearts for showing that. 10 of hearts
and
now.
And one man
showing...
is, like, totally supporting me in this. And
he
it is.
Yeah, he's got
contract.
Good support.
It's actually a contract position, so it's not full. Like it's for 2 months. But I wanted to make sure I was in the right place because
you're in the perfect place. This is exactly what you needed, exactly the right time. You couldn't be more. You couldn't be more the perfect person at the right time. So say your blessings and move with it.
Okay, perfect. That's all I wanted to know.
You're on, girl. Don't worry about it. Yeah, move with it. Win-win.
Okay, great. And I love you, Jeannie, again.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I'll talk to you soon.
It's interesting, Gary, because that's something that maybe I'd like you to address a little bit. The way you handled that was basically she's in the job and there's very positive things there for her, and she's where she's supposed to be at this time, which is good. I don't like it when somebody comes and says, should I do this or should I not? And how do you deal with that?
Depending on the situation, probably not the same way twice, whether I'm using intuition or cards or the stones. It depends on what methodology and how I feel and what strikes me. But on her, for example, I was just pulling some random cards out of a regular deck of playing cards, and with the cards I was seeing, it was very apparent that there was a good decision for her, and everything was saying empowerment, good contacts, freshness, new experience, that sort of thing. So did that answer the question? I forgot what the question was.
Well, like, for instance, one time I had finished a reading. It was an exceptionally good reading for this gentleman. And at the end of it, he said to me, should I marry this woman? And I said, if you have to ask me that question, I think you have your own answer.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's certainly true.
I wouldn't want to tell him to marry her or not marry her, because that's not my responsibility to do that. But about the best I could do, because my feeling really was that it may not be exactly where it should be. And
well, if he was asking that, you're right, he was hesitant.
Yeah, so if he himself is feeling that he has to ask that question, I honestly feel that he has his answer. And if he didn't have his answer, it's not for me to tell him he should or shouldn't, because, you know, then he throws a responsibility on me if it's not a good deal.
No, the purpose of people giving psychic readings and insights is to inspire people to use their free will, not to take it away from them.
Yeah.
Well put.
Yeah, very well put. So we're getting up to the top. Gary, talk a little bit about, you do readings online or on the phone?
Correct, and people can check out GaryWimmer.com, GaryWimmer.com. Or they can actually just Google Reading Stones, because my book is Lithomancy, the Psychic Art of Reading Stones, and that'll come up on page one, and you can find out how to get in touch with me. And, I do readings on the phone or in person. I've been doing it for this particular method, Lithomancy, for 30 years, and I've been giving readings since the early 70s, so I'm certainly not a beginner at this. And I hope to get both my books out here in the next month or so.
That's good. And, so if they keep checking your site, you know, they go into the site and see what's going on. And, of course, they can contact either Jeannie or I through Inner Garden. And you also have a little bit of advertising for your group that you're doing there, Jeannie, too.
Yes.
It has to be quick, because we've got about 2 minutes.
Oh, well, if they want to contact me, you mean?
Yeah.
You can contact me at westcoasthypnosis.ca or intuitivespirit.ca.
And, of course, get us at innergarden.com and see us at chapel on Sunday and through the week. We've got lots of things going on. Gary, we'd like to thank you for joining us. We'll have to get you on again, because that hour went way too fast.
My pleasure, ladies. Great talking to both you and your callers. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gary, thank you. And I can't wait till your book comes out.
All right.
And keep in touch.
I sure will. Have a good evening, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you
to BBSRadio.com for allowing us to have this program once more. And thank you, Zeph, for having patience down there. I see you type to me every once in a while, and if I'm not paying attention, you must wonder what's going on. So we will see you in 2 weeks on Inner Garden again, in 2 weeks from today. Thank you for coming in.
Good night.